The Dr. Tracy Show, your integrated health expert. Here to help when you log on to peaksofhealth.com. Peaksofhealth.com.
Another Saturday and another day of the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy in studio today. And Dr. Tracy, I hope you had a great week. How was it?
Yeah, we did. We had a really good week.
Very nice. Very nice to hear. Always good to hear that you're having a good week and hope you are having a good week as well. And thank you for joining us today. And today on the Dr. Tracy Show, we're going to be talking about Alzheimer's. And before we get into that, I want to let you guys know that we always like to go along on the website as we do the show, peaksofhealth.com. That's the website, peaksofhealth.com. They also have a Facebook page too. A lot of good stuff on the Facebook page. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/peaksofhealth, and you can find all that information there and a free 15-minute consultation, of course, if you call them 727-826-0838. Now, Dr. Tracy, Alzheimer's, that's a scary word. One that I think most people worry about, especially the latter stages of life. There's so much research being done, but I'm assuming there's so much more to do. And I know this is an issue that's near and dear to your heart, as you personally experienced Alzheimer's in your family. Tell us your story.
Well, the thing is, my father, he passed from Alzheimer's. So, you know, and I could actually see it in his late 60s. You know, we kind of figured it out a little bit earlier. And there were things we could do that I kind of started studying on, some basic things. But then, you know, again, we probably held it off for over 10 years before he fell and fractured his hip. And when he went under anesthesia, it just rapidly declined. So it's one of those things, if I knew now, you know, back then what I know now, I think it would have been a game changer for us.
How so? I mean, how do you think it's something that is this something you can catch early on? You said this, it was affecting him in his 60s. Is this something, even though you saw the signs, you could change maybe in his 40s?
Well, again, my dad had diabetes. So diabetes and Alzheimer's are heavily linked into each other. One of the things we realized is my dad was on testosterone therapy, you know, by his doctor. And when he turned 70, his doctor decided he didn't need it anymore. And low testosterone is heavily linked into progression of Alzheimer's. You know, this is something I would have definitely kept him on, you know, and some of the other things I probably would have done a little bit differently. They put him on a statin for his cholesterol, you know, and that, again, is one of the things that, you know, affects the memory and has a lot of other side effects. And, you know, it's one of the things I probably would have taken him off of.
I think we all from time to time misplace things or forget things, forget what we had done, you know, previous days, and we get a little worried. What are some of the warning signals for Alzheimer's in general?
Well, again, some of the warning signals are not that you forgot where you put your keys, but you put your keys in the refrigerator. You know, you put them in places you just wouldn't do. Or, you know, the short-term memory really starts going. You really start forgetting things that just happened. You can't remember what you had for breakfast. Yes, there are times I may not remember that because I'm just really crazy busy. But it's more than that. It's really, you know, you start traveling someplace, you know, to the store, and you forget how to get there.
Okay.
It's those kinds of memories that you start
losing. Now, the keys in the fridge, is that just forgetting where things naturally go by order, or is that just because you're not paying attention and you leave them in the fridge?
No, most of the time they kind of forget the connections. You know, they forget how things connect properly. You know, the same thing. You go to the same route to that store every single day, but you lose that connection. So you get there, and all of a sudden, midway, you can't remember how to get there.
What happens in the brain somewhere along the way that causes these types of changes that leads to Alzheimer's?
Well, one of the things we do know about Alzheimer's is a degenerative disease, you know, and we do know there are these bodies, amyloid bodies that they call them, that start building up in the system, and they start destroying the highways, so to speak, of the brain. So those highway tracks. And we also know there's a chemical in the brain called acetylcholine, and acetylcholine is what forms memory. And so it affects the actual enzyme in the system, so you start lowering your acetylcholine levels, so they don't have enough of this hormone to form that memory.
Yeah, when I hear about Alzheimer's, you usually think about older people getting it. Is this something that younger people should be worried about? Who usually is at risk, the highest risk for Alzheimer's?
Well, the highest risk is going to be that older person. Usually it doesn't start until the 60s, and then it progresses. The person may have some things going on in their 40s, but the symptoms usually don't occur until later. Now, there are conditions where people do get, you know, early Alzheimer's, whether it be high inflammation after they've had an infection in the brain, or whether they've had a traumatic brain injury, they can have issues.
What are some of the changes that you will see other people go through, maybe loved ones that you can expect once they have Alzheimer's? Maybe they've already been diagnosed with it. What are some of the changes you're going to see?
Well, some of the changes we saw was, you know, again, that progression in memory, the walking, you know, his gait started shifting and changing. He started becoming paranoid and fearful. They get sundowners. They don't sleep at night. They get very fidgety and agitated. You know, and everybody's different. This is what we happen to see in that progression, to the point where he no longer recognized any of us in the room. He no longer was speaking. He no longer was really responding to much. And then finally, as I said, you know, his last hip fracture, he ended up in a nursing home until he passed.
And clearly this is something that is just near and dear to your heart. And I'm sure it's something that you want to change. You want to help get in front of it and make sure that other people don't have to deal with this when it comes to loved ones. What are you doing and what are you seeing when it comes to Alzheimer's, when it comes to treating Alzheimer's? What are you doing over at Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center?
Well, we do some things. You know, we actually kind of, you know, we check the brain, we look at MRIs to see if there's anything else going on, do those neurological exams. But again, we also optimize it. If that gentleman is low on testosterone, we optimize their testosterone because we do know we need to keep that level above that 600 to 700 mark to affect the brain chemistry. We look at, you know, we actually can measure their neurotransmitters and look to see if they're low on acetylcholine. And there's things we can put in the system to boost up its production. We do a lot of things in terms of making sure they have their, you know, adequate levels of B vitamins, B12, especially omega-3 fatty acids have been shown to be highly effective in brain chemistry.
And we'll get into some of those later on in the show. Absolutely. The test, I mean, when younger kids and when younger people, adults, young adults come in to see you, what are some of the things you do, the tests you do, even if they're far away from Alzheimer's, what do you do to test them?
Well, if they've had a traumatic brain injury or they're having symptoms of, you know, brain issues, then we do look at, as I said, MRIs. But there are other more sophisticated tests you can look at. You can look at SPECT scans of the brain. And Alzheimer's brain on a SPECT scan looks like Swiss cheese. So you can actually see that. You know, you can look at if they've had traumatic brain injuries, you can look at what we call MRI DTIs, which are specialized MRI scans to show us the neurons to see if there's injury to the brain. So there's things tests we can do brain-wise. You know, neurologists can do EEGs to look at the brain waves of the brain to see if there's any differences there. But the biggest thing for, you know, when we're looking at memory and cognitive function is to look at, you know, those neurotransmitters. Are they off on dopamine? Are they off on acetylcholine? Are those chemicals in your brain that control that memory?
Is Alzheimer's, is this something we found to be hereditary, or is this something that changes from each person? We've talked about concussions before, head trauma, and Alzheimer's has links to that. Is it just, or is it hereditary? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, nobody knows 100% sure. We do know there is a gene called the APOE gene, and that gene increases your risk of Alzheimer's if you have it, you know. And I've been tested for it because my father had it. I don't. But, you know, it doesn't mean I can't get Alzheimer's because there's so many other things linked into it. Infections, Epstein-Barr virus, Lyme disease has been linked into Alzheimer's because there is an inflammatory process and a damaging process. Diabetes has been heavily linked into Alzheimer's because, again, that brain inflammation that occurs from the high sugars. You know, traumatic brain injury has been linked into it because of the damage that occurs in the brain. And again, inflammation after the, you know, trauma. So inflammation is a huge part of it. And then you also have the secondary aspect of it as far as the actual genetics.
How do we test that gene?
It is a blood test. It's a simple blood test you can take. We do it at the office. Anybody who has, you know, a history or a family history, we test the gene on them, you know, to make sure that they don't have it. And if they do, then we start making sure we take all those precautions ahead of time.
if you want to find Dr. Tracy, they are at Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. Like she said, this is something she can test over there. You can get a free 15-minute consultation if you call them, 727-826-0838. If you are already ready and you want that test and you want to head down there and see Dr. Tracy, where can they find you, Dr. Tracy?
We are at 1120 Belcher Road South in Largo on Belcher, right between East Bay and Almerton.
That's 1120 Belcher Road South. And once again, I'm going to give the number again. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. You can find out all that information and more on peaksofhealth.com or their Facebook page, facebook.com/peaksofhealth. Dr. Tracy, when we talk about Alzheimer's, are there current medications that people should be taking if they already have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's? And if so, what are some of these side effects from these?
Well, there are medications that you can take for the brain, Aricept and things like that, that actually increase the cognitive, and they work on the acetylcholine. You know, there are side effects to them. You know, they can actually sometimes make the patient a little bit more agitated, you know, but again, it's the downside. The plus side usually outweighs the downside if they actually need the medication and if it's working for them.
Yeah. At what point, I mean, how dire is it when they need that medication?
You know, again, you know, Aricept and these medications do not reverse Alzheimer's. They kind of help steady the progression. And that's the big thing. You know, once someone has Alzheimer's, you're not going, this isn't like diabetes that we can completely reverse it and they're normal again. This is something that it's about quality of life. It's about halting progression and allowing them to have that quality. And the earliest we get into that patient, the better off we are as far as halting it. Because once they fully progress, there's not a whole lot we can do.
And I want to get into that conversation later about quality of life over eventually just being able to not make it about just quality of life, being able to reverse the entire Alzheimer's process. I mean, that would be something, and hopefully that's something in our near future.
I hope so.
We're going to talk about that more. We're going to talk about some of the myths that are associated with Alzheimer's in the next segment. Dr. Tracy Show with Dr. Tracy, Aaron Jacobson here today. Peaksofhealth.com is the website. Like I said, in the next segment, we're going to talk about some myths that you always hear associated with Alzheimer's, and we're going to talk about that on the Dr. Tracy Show next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy today. The topic of conversation, Alzheimer's. And if you want to check out their website, peaksofhealth.com, peaksofhealth.com, and they're at Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. Is it Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's? What is it, Dr. Tracy?
I don't know. I think it's tomato, tomato.
Tomato,
I say
tomato.
Alzheimer's. So.
I feel like every other segment, it's either all or Al's with me. Like I change it every other one just to make everyone happy. That's what I do here. I please people. Peaksofhealth.com. That's the website, 727-826-0838, or at least I do my very best to try that. Dr. Tracy, today we're talking about Alzheimer's, and we want to talk about some of the myths that are associated with Alzheimer's. Let's start with, from your perspective, what are some of the biggest myths we hear today?
Well, I think one of the biggest myths is, you know, memory loss is a natural part of aging. You know, if that was the case, why do you have the 91-year-old grandma that's sharp as a tack? You know, it's not a natural part of aging. It can happen with some of the things that occur with aging, you know, especially with hormonal decline, because estrogen is unbelievably important in female brain function and testosterone is unbelievably important in male brain function. So that can be part of it. But, you know, it's not. It doesn't have to happen. And Alzheimer's is a progression, not, you know, just some memory loss.
So myth number one, memory loss is just a natural part of aging.
I hope not anyway.
Yes. Myth number two, Dr. Tracy.
Myth number two is that Alzheimer's disease is not fatal. You know, people do die of Alzheimer's. And one of the reasons that this happens is they forget natural function. You know, they no longer, when acetylcholine goes down to super low levels, it also controls your swallowing function. So they can't swallow properly. So they aspirate their food and then they'll end up with aspiration pneumonia. And that's usually how they die, as a complication of Alzheimer's.
Okay. So a lot of people, though, you see, maybe they've been living with Alzheimer's for a while, it's still, you can see the brain function, though, deteriorate, correct?
Exactly. I mean, their brain function will deteriorate to the point where they don't know where they are. And, you know, talking to some, you know, psychiatrists about this, they think that the Alzheimer's patient, because they don't know what's going on at the end, they're actually fairly happy in their little world, you know, because
yeah.
They have no problems. They
Absolutely.
Don't think of anything. But, you know, again, what happens usually is they can no longer feed themselves. They can no longer, you know, bathe themselves. They can no longer go to the bathroom properly. So they get infections from these complications.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of those things you talk about and you think about that, and very sad. I mean, at least there's something, the comfort in that, at least knowing they're in their own little world, because it's just something that's very hard to see.
It is. I think it's harder for the caretakers than it is for the actual patient at that point.
Absolutely. And myth number three, Dr. Tracy.
Well, here we already talked about it. Only older people can get Alzheimer's. Yeah. And the reason for this is, again, you know, it's caused by an oxidative expression in the brain, you know, where you actually have that destruction. And that can also happen from early strokes. It can happen from traumatic brain injuries.
All right. I'm going to read myth number four, and you're going to tell me if it's true or not. Drinking out of aluminum cans or cooking in aluminum pots and pans can lead to Alzheimer's disease.
There is a thought process and a suspicion that this can be true because aluminum is a heavy metal and it is toxic to the brain.
That's really interesting. I think that's one we need to focus in on because I think a lot of people don't know that stuff.
I think one of the things we're finding out that is the reason we're having an increased rise in some of this is because of some of the toxins that get into our brain chemistry.
Now, don't take – we're not telling you to stop drinking out of your cans.
Well, some of the aluminum has BPA in it. You know, a lot of those cans have BPA also, and that can be, you know, also a contributing factor.
How do you know? I mean,
well, all of it's made with BPA unless it says BPA free.
Okay. And there are some stuff that's BPA free.
There are some, you know, products that will say BPA free on the aluminum.
Do we have to be that? Do we have to really go there now? I mean, from your medical, you know, history, from
I think you just have to be careful, you know, and not overdo it.
Okay.
You know, if you're turning around, that's all you do is eat out of an aluminum can, you might want to be a little bit more careful.
Okay.
You know, if you're eating it occasionally, you know, and now they have so much better cookware out there, ceramic cookware and everything else, you might want to change to some of these without, you know, they actually will say on there no POA in them. So you might want to change your cookware to something a little bit more safer.
Safer, but relax. She's not telling you to stop drinking out of aluminum cans. So everyone freaking out there. Don't worry. You're good. Myth number five.
Myth number five, aspartame causes memory loss. Now, this actually has been proven. Aspartame is a neuroexcitatory toxin. And at the time, this was considered not to be true. But we have found out since then that aspartame is an actual toxin to the brain.
What is aspartame again?
Aspartame is well known under the brand name NutraSweet, so it's the blue packet.
Okay.
It's one of the sweeteners, especially in things like Diet Coke. It actually, one of the things aspartame also does is, you know, we kind of think with some of these, you know, because diabetes is linked into Alzheimer's, going into that, we think that the sweeteners are better for us than the sugar.
Okay.
You know, and we found that, you know, most of the sweeteners are not. They're so sweet that they actually trigger insulin higher levels in the body than sugar would.
So definitely be careful with those.
Yeah. So if you're using a natural sweetener, you know, you're a little bit better, like stevia or monk fruit. But the other sweeteners actually are, I'd rather somebody eat something with some sugar in it, a real sugar, not fake sugar, like high fructose corn syrup, but real stuff, than actually doing the sweeteners.
Now, myth number six, an interesting one here, saying flu shots increase risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Well, again, this is something that's very debatable to a certain extent. You know, flu shots do sometimes contain mercury, and mercury is toxic to the brain and can cross blood-brain barrier. But flu shots that are mercury-free, then no.
And that's a big issue here in today. I mean, a lot of people are arguing over the risk of certain types of shots. And
it's a big controversy. You know, half people think yes, half people think no. But we do know mercury is toxic to the brain, you know, and is a heavy metal that can be found in the brain at times. And it crosses through the blood-brain barrier. So, you know, at our office, we actually do get the flu shots in for our patients, but we get the mercury-free flu shots in.
Myth number seven, Dr. Tracy, silver dental fillings increase risk of Alzheimer's disease. That's
now,
an interesting one.
Again, this is interesting because, again, some of the silver fillings did have mercury in them, and it is controversial in the fact that, you know, some people think the silver doesn't leak, you know, the mercury. This one I can tell for a fact because I had the silver fillings in and my dentist was telling me it's not true. And on the sixth filling that they took out, because I just asked to have them all removed, he goes, uh-oh. And I'm like, what's uh-oh? He goes, well, your tooth's cracked underneath this filling and you can actually see the leaking going on.
Oh my
well, my
gosh.
Levels of mercury were toxic at that time. So I knew it was coming from someplace. So
and
it
you
did.
Know what? It's not something you think about, but clearly
is not something you think about. So if we have somebody who has high levels of mercury in their system and they do have these fillings in, we do usually recommend that they have them removed.
Just unbelievable.
And one of the things that you
cracked.
Can tell is a high level of dentists actually do get neurological diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's.
Jeez. Can't believe that. What's the you're leaking mercury.
Yeah. You just cracked right underneath there.
Fantastic. Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy, talking about the myths associated with Alzheimer's. There you go. I went to Alzheimer's to end the segment just to shake it up there. 727-826-0838, 727-826-0838 for a free 15-minute consultation, Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. The conversation today is Alzheimer's. We're going to continue that conversation, talk about some supplements and treatments when it comes to Alzheimer's, and much more ahead in the news segment later on in the show with Dr. Tracy. This is Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy, the Dr. Tracy Show. More next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Thanks for joining us today. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy talking about Alzheimer's today. And if you want to join us today, you can check out the website peaksofhealth.com. Follow along with us. There's plenty of stuff on the website. If you want to check out some more stuff in previous shows that we've discussed, weight loss, diabetes, thyroid, plenty of stuff on there. And you can give them a call as well for a free 15-minute consultation, 727-826-0838. And you can check out their Facebook page, facebook.com/peaksofhealth, or go visit them on the road, 1120 Belcher Road South. Dr. Tracy, talking about Alzheimer's today, let's talk about some of the nutrients and supplements that can help with some of these medical conditions. Not to say, because we've obviously talked about there's not a cure for the disease, but there are some vitamins and nutrients that can affect the disease and maybe slow the progression. Let's start there and go over some of these.
Well, one of the bigger things that we know of is B12 is absolutely necessary for brain function and for the neurotransmitters. But we also know that B6 and B9 is absolutely necessary for serotonin production. So if people are low in their B vitamins, and if they have a gene that we talked about previously called MTHFR, this particular gene is a risk factor for Alzheimer's. So besides just the APOE gene, which is specific to Alzheimer's, this gene is a precursor because you don't activate or methylate the B vitamins, and you need methyl B12.
B12, B6, B9, do you need all of them? Can you take one? Can you do two or three? What do you have to do here?
You do need all of them, you know, and if people have the gene, what we do is we give, you know, a supplement that has all three in them for them.
Very convenient.
You know, if they're really high in a chemical called, it's an amino acid called homocysteine, and that's really toxic to the brain. And so if those levels are high, again, high risk factor for Alzheimer's, we will give them injections in high doses to get that system going. You know, and that's one of the things I did for my father is I gave him routine B12 injections.
If you are not a high-risk Alzheimer's patient, would it be bad to take the B12, B6, B9 combo that you have?
Actually, it won't, because, you know, usually if somebody doesn't need those specifics, we'll give them a good total B complex. But B vitamins are water-soluble, and most people will eat through their B vitamins under stress. So it's not a harmful thing for anybody to take a B complex.
And the B12 gives me a little boost. I like that.
It's very big in your energy cycle. And they used to call it the feel-good hormone,
yeah.
Or the feel-good vitamin, you know. So a lot of people like their B12 shots because of that reason.
And you've got all three combined into one, correct?
We do. We have all three combined into one capsule, or we also, as I said, on some of our patients who need it, you know, they need higher doses, we will give it to them either under the tongue called sublingually, or we will give it to them in injection form.
Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center, if you want to go check that out. What's the next supplement that we should talk about?
Omega-3 fish oil. And I learned a lot about this with Alzheimer's from Dr. Barry Sears, who developed the Zone Diet. And he was doing some experiments with really high doses of omega-3s. And when they got into much higher levels of 10, 15 grams, they showed a significant change. And one of the reasons is what we find is the cell walls are made of omega-3 fatty acids or omega-6 fatty acids. So the omega-3s are highly anti-inflammatory. And again, inflammation is one of the big things that happens in the brain that causes this problem. So, you know, again, we give our patients much higher doses of the omega-3s.
Hormones and balance. How does that work?
Hormones are big. Again, remember I said testosterone is one of the things that affects brain function in men, you know, and their memory. And low testosterone is heavily linked into Alzheimer's disease. And incidentally, it's also linked into diabetes. There's not one of my type 2 diabetics that are men that don't have low testosterone. So I'm not sure if it's all the sugar that is also the cause for Alzheimer's and diabetes, or if it's the combination of the low testosterone and the sugar. But we do know that that is linked into Alzheimer's disease. So we do try to optimize optimize all of our patients' hormones that have this.
Now, the next thing, melatonin, that's something we've talked about before. Why don't you just reiterate what melatonin is and then talk about why what it does to when it comes to Alzheimer's?
Well, again, with melatonin, it is known as the sleep hormone. It is the chemical in our brain that tells our brain it's time to go to sleep and shuts it down. But it also has really high levels of anti-inflammatory effects in the brain. So it's one of these things that helps, again, decrease that inflammation and keeps their sleep cycle going. So if their brain can get some rest, that's when you do your recovery.
What are some other nutrients that are needed? We've talked about some supplements. What are some other nutrients needed?
Well, CoQ10 is a big one for brain because, again, your brain needs a lot of energy. The two organs in our body that has utilized the biggest amount of energy are going to be our brain and our heart. So they need the largest amount of CoQ10. And it's one of the reasons why the statin was a problem for me because it lowers and blocks CoQ10 production. So we had to give large doses to counteract that.
So that's something you hear about when it comes to heart health, and also now you're talking about it when it comes to the brain.
Exactly.
Name another one, another supplement that can help.
I love one called GPC, glycophosphocholine. And what this is we talked about a chemical called acetylcholine, which is necessary in brain function. This is what we call a neurotransmitter. It's a hormone in the brain that helps you form memory. And what glycophosphocholine is the precursor to acetylcholine. So what we're doing is we're giving that body those doses of that. And this is, again, one of the things that I used pretty successfully in, again, getting those acetylcholine levels up in our patients.
Before we get into more, we talk about, and if you're joining us, just joining us, this is the Dr. Tracy Show talking about Alzheimer's today. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Are there some things we can do? We talk about making the brain healthier. Are there activities or exercises we can do? Myself, anyone who just wants to keep their brain sharp. Any exercises we can do?
There are all kinds of brain teasers you can do. Just simple things like puzzles, crossword puzzles, Sudoku. There's all kinds of brain teasers you can do. You know, reading, staying active, you know, keeping your brain, you know, it's one of those things you don't use it, you lose it. You sit in front of the television all day, you're not doing anything.
I know.
But read, study, you know, those kinds of things.
Why is that good for the brain? Because, I mean, I go out, I play basketball, you know, I shoot a basketball and I go, well, I'm running, I'm getting my athletics, I'm shooting a ball in a hoop. But that's my meathead version of staying in shape.
Well, it is, though, good for the brain, though, because you're increasing your heart rate, so you're increasing your blood flow, you know, because, again, we need good blood flow to the brain. So that exercise is one of the things that's actually very good for Alzheimer's, you know, getting them in an exercise program. But at the same time, exercising your brain in terms of utilizing it,
yes.
You know, memory teasers, you know, constantly reading and studying things so you keep on using that. You
a
don't
challenge.
Wanna, a challenge.
Make it work. Okay, what are some other things we talk about? I think GPC was the last one you brought up.
Yeah, and there's one that we also like called PQQ. PQQ is one we use in traumatic brain injury a lot, and we also use it in Alzheimer's because it starts the reparative process of the brain. It is an anti-inflammatory in the brain, so it also helps the brain repair itself, you know, and that's one of the things we want to do, especially in our traumatic brain injury patients.
If that's something they would want, or they come to see you, where do they get the PQQ? They can get
we carry it in the office because
okay.
We do a lot of traumatic brain injury in our office, so we have those for that.
If somebody's passed the word along, maybe they're out of state, they're somewhere where they can't get in touch with you, what do? Do you go into your local, how do you get PQQ?
We can actually ship it directly to them.
That's amazing.
You know, we ship all over the country to patients. We have patients that fly in from all over the country, so we do ship out.
That's why it's important to check out the website, peaksofhealth.com, peaksofhealth.com. You can get it shipped out. Maybe even if you're local and it's something that you want the shipments, peaksofhealth.com. Check it out. It's worth giving them a call. Get a free 15-minute consultation with all your questions, 727-826-0838. Once again, 727-826-0838. Facebook as well, facebook.com/peaksofhealth. Some more, Dr. Tracy.
One of the biggest ones is another hormone that we do called pregnenolone. And we've talked about pregnenolone before. Because it is the mother hormone, it's called. And this is, you know, again, a primary hormone of memory in the brain. It is what kind of keeps everything in check. And now some of the studies coming out on this are phenomenal as far as Alzheimer's is concerned. And it's one of the things that, you know, we check this hormone and we keep the level at a certain level and above in our patients. So they might need large doses of it because their brain's using a lot of it. But we do keep their levels well above 100 if they have these risk factors. And it's amazing when you put these patients on it, how their their memories start improving when you get the levels up there.
And that's important. Obviously, you want to see that function improve. Any more supplements or nutrients we should know about?
There's another hormone called DHEA that we've talked about previously. It is called the father hormone. And that hormone is of the adrenal glands, but it also is highly brain protective. So again, it's another steroid in the brain to keep the inflammation down. So again, it's one that we also make sure is at optimal levels.
Yeah, another supplement you talk about a lot, alpha-lipoic acid. You're impressed that I remember that, huh?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Now, is that something that we can that can be used here? Because I know it's something you talk about a lot.
Alpha-lipoic acid, again, is a strong antioxidant. It's very good for the brain tissue. It is very anti-inflammatory, and it is a heavy metal chelator. So it can help you get some of those metals out of the brain if that is part of it.
You know I only brought that up so I could say alpha-lipoic acid. And it doesn't matter to you. You don't mind.
No.
What else are we should we know about Dr. Tracy?
Well, a lot of people know about ginkgo biloba, which is well known and well studied as far as brain and memory function is concerned.
Screw alpha lipoic acid. I like that one.
You like
one.
Ginkgo biloba.
Ginkgo biloba. I like that one. Say it again.
Ginkgo biloba.
Oh, I love it when you talk to me like that, Dr. Tracy.
And then we use one called EHT. And EHT was studied at Princeton University and developed at Princeton University and studied by Daniel Amen, who's pretty well known in the neurological fields. And that is one that actually has been shown to repair the tau proteins in the brain. And they are some of the proteins that get damaged. And so it's been shown to actually, in the early studies so far, and I'm waiting for some final studies to come out, to reverse. Now, this is where we are talking about possible reversal of early Alzheimer's.
That's so important. Reversal of early Alzheimer's, that's huge.
Yeah, and he did this by showing SPECT scans. And as I said before, the SPECT scan on the brain is a specialized scan. And that scan shows the energy levels of that particular part of the brain. And what is showed in an Alzheimer's patient is the brain looked like Swiss cheese. Basically, there are holes everywhere. And when a year out, these brains are starting to repair. And within 2 years out, they're almost looking like normal brains again. So that, I think, is going to be phenomenal later on. It took Princeton 20 years to figure out how to get this compound together. So it's very early in. It's only been out for less than a year now, I think.
We're going to continue this conversation. Plenty more to hit on here. And of course, my favorite segment, In the News with Dr. Tracy. She's going to link it all together with an In the News segment in the final segment of the Dr. Tracy Show today. Check out the website, peaksofhealth.com, their Facebook, facebook.com/peaksofhealth, or give them a call, 727-826-0838. You get a free 15-minute consultation there, so take advantage of that. 727-826-0838. We're going to continue this conversation on Alzheimer's next. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy on The Dr. Tracy Show. Welcome back to the final segment of the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. These shows go by too dang fast, Dr. Tracy.
I know. It's just flying by.
It's unbelievable. Always having a good time here, learning so much when we talk with Dr. Tracy. And if you want to learn more, peaksofhealth.com while we're away. Of course, when the show ends, it doesn't ever have to end because you can find out all the information you want, peaksofhealth.com, or you can call them. You can get 15 more minutes by giving them a call, 727-826-0838. I tell you should take advantage of that free 15-minute consultation and go visit them as well. 1120 Belcher Road South in Largo. We're talking today, Dr. Tracy, about Alzheimer's, and we've been talking about some supplements and nutrients needed. What are some additional supplements people need to treat Alzheimer's?
Well, some of the additional ones, acetyl L-carnitine is one we can also use. And acetyl L-carnitine, most people have heard of L-carnitine, which is necessary for metabolism and necessary for energy production. Acetyl L-carnitine is the version that can help cross the blood-brain barrier. So you add that little acetyl group to it, and now you can get it up into the brain.
What's in the carnitine?
The carnitine is actually, you know, an enzyme that is necessary for ATP production. It's found in red meat.
And this,
it's actually one of the amino acids found in red meat that we cannot make.
I love the connection of words. I mean, you can, if you think about words and the origins, you hear carnivore in there. You know it has something to do mm-hmm. with meat. How important is something like that?
Very important. And this is one of the reasons why some of our vegetarians have trouble with our energy levels, because they don't take carnitine and they don't get it through their diet. But this is, you know, again, one of the things that is absolutely necessary to drive that energy cycle that we call the Krebs cycle or the electron transport chain in order to make ATP or energy. And the brain needs a lot of ATP.
Are there any more? I want to get into your go-to supplements, but are there any additional supplements that we should know about before we go to your go-tos?
Curcumin. Curcumin is highly anti-inflammatory. So again, it's an inflammatory process. So this helps us bring the inflammation down.
Now, that's an additional supplement, but I've heard you bring that up plenty of times. So that would that be a go-to as well?
It's a go-to if we find the patient has inflammation, because we do look at inflammatory markers, and it's one of the main things we'll go to. Curcumin also, because it is so highly anti-inflammatory and it's ingested in the intestinal system, it has been linked into significantly lowering the risk of colon cancer.
I could be wrong. Do people use this for cooking, correct?
They do. It's turmeric.
Okay.
You know, so people do use it for cooking. And they also, you know, use it for people who have a lot of inflammatory joint pain. So it's highly used in people who have joint pain.
Very interesting. Now, let's go to your go-to supplements, Dr. Tracy's go-to supplements.
Well, my first initial supplements are going to be increasing the omega-3 fatty acids. They can also take coconut oil, which is a medium-chain triglyceride that also helps the cell membrane in the brain. So it's very, very good for brain function.
And I'm guessing that means coconuts in general? Well,
coconut oil.
Okay.
You know, coconut oil doesn't taste bad. You just do it as shooters.
I've had the coconut... Are you telling me I can take some shots?
Yeah, you can take some shots.
Coconut water. I mean, I hear that my roommate has coconut water. I've tried it when I was very thirsty.
It doesn't taste very good.
It's not good at all.
No.
In fact, it was worse than being thirsty.
No, I can't drink coconut water, but coconut oil really doesn't have... It tastes actually pretty decent, and that's tolerable. It is oil, though, if you don't like the texture.
One day, Dr. Tracy and I, coconut oil shooters.
Yeah, I'll bring some organic coconut oil in here with the shooters.
You're all invited.
But you can also turn around the B injections or B12 and the B complexes. We are very high in. They are the biggies, and then I start going into things that help with memory. GPC is a great one I really like. Phosphatidylcholine, which is another version of GPC, but it's one layer down if they're low in it. We do a lot of DNA testing to see if they can make phosphatidylcholine, because choline is what you need for acetylcholine. So we have to get that into the brain somehow. I do a lot of EHT on my patients because, again, we want to go ahead and start repairing that process. And one of the first things I do is I regulate their hormones. I look at their hormones. If they're low in testosterone and they're a male or female, we go ahead and bring those levels up to optimal levels. If our females are low in estrogen and they don't have a history of breast cancer or anything, then we will go ahead and bring their estrogen levels up a bit.
Yeah. Try to remember these. Try to write them down if you can at some point. Text them to yourself. Write them in your phone. Make sure you're on the side of the road, of course, if you're driving, if you do this. But this is something you want to remember. Or if you just want to come in and talk to Dr. Tracy about Alzheimer's, about the topic of the day today, you can go in and she'll tell you a lot. She'll list these things again, her go-to supplements. But these are things you want to take advantage of. And you can go to Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center to get them. 727-826-0838 is the number. Or you can go visit them. 1120 Belcher Road South. Go ahead, give them a call. Check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. Dr. Tracy, what's going on in the news today?
Well, in the news, we decided to go ahead and concentrate on what we're already talking about. And this is something that I think is going to be really exciting. This is a study that they did at the University of Manchester. And what they found out that in this particular study was that just a simple medication that we used to use for years, and it was an anti-inflammatory medication, because we already talked about inflammation as the hallmark. And this anti-inflammatory used to be used for menstrual cramping. And they gave it to the patients, and they did a study on mice first, and 100% of them reversed their Alzheimer's. And then when they actually gave it to the humans, they were having similar effects. And as I said, it's so amazing that we're talking about something simple that has been available for a long time. And it's called mefenamic. I can't even pronounce it. It's mefenamic acid. It's not one that we typically use in the United States. It's actually from England. But, you know, these studies, it's already an approved drug. So it becomes, you know, when they do larger studies, larger cohorts for humans, I think it might be something on the horizon as something as simple as taking anti-inflammatory.
Wow. That would be incredible.
Now, this is early stages. This wasn't late stages.
Yes. There are plenty more mice and rats to be tested on.
Yes. Plenty more mice and rats and lots of humans. How they delivered it, though, I think was this key. They did it through a pump underneath the skin. So this wasn't a pill you were taking. You actually had a little mini pump inserted underneath the skin, and it was a continuous dosing.
That is your In the News segment with Dr. Tracy. Always interesting stuff there. Now, Dr. Tracy, real quick before we get out of here, let's just sum it up, wrap it all up, the Alzheimer's conversation. What does the future look like?
Well, I think there's a lot of research going on in this, and I think the key is catching it early. Once you have significant progression, I think we're going to have trouble. But if we can catch it early, there are a lot of things we can do to halt the progress.
And hopefully, as we continue to do this show, the Dr. Tracy show, the research and all this stuff that we are learning, continuing to learn, and you, of course, are learning, continues to progress, and we'll have more information and more shows like this, Dr. Tracy.
Absolutely.
Once again, thank you again, Dr. Tracy. Another great show.
Thank you.
Guys, have a great week. Check out the website, peaksofhealth.com. That's peaksofhealth.com. Go visit them. Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. Free 15-minute consultation with that call, 727-826-0838. Until next time, have a great week. This is the Dr. Tracy Show.